You're listening to episode 15 of the Oh Mama podcast with Libby and Jess. We are two mom friends in Richmond, Virginia, finding humor in our everyday lives. We talk about all the things girlfriends do: parenthood, love, careers, entertainment, beauty, embarrassing stories. Nothing's off the table. Well, almost nothing. In this episode, we marvel at almost burning down the house again and pushing our limits on a ski trip. We delve into parenting tweens, how we feel around popular girls, and Carrie Bradshaw, the one and only. Jess also tells Libby all about her plans to get Botox. Kidding! We reveal our own personal vanities and mishaps with beauty procedures, and we finally round it out with our experiences getting mammograms. You're listening to the
Oh Mama
podcast. I'm Libby.
And I'm Jess.
I'm Libby. I have four kids, and I want to make a special note that I'm married to a great man named Nick. Last time he's like, you didn't even mention me. You're just a mom with four kids, and that's it. So shout out to my husband, Nick. We are divorced and married to each other, like second marriage. Feel really lucky to be together, and I brought two kids, he brought one, and we have a love child, and I think we're in this place of, like, trying to make the most of this new chapter called the 40s and suburbs, and, finding personal fulfillment and creative outlets, and also, I do always love things that are pink. And I did buy a sparkly pink top, which I'll talk about later. So what about you, Jess?
Looking forward to that. I'm Jess. I'm also in my 40s, married to also a lovely man. I think he knows how much I appreciate him, but I should say it more. We've got three kids ranging in age. ranging in age from 5 to 12, and a 10-year-old as well. So we've got a lot going on. I feel like we're kind of well into the 40s. We're not really well into it, but we've gotten through the 40s, and now it's we're really just like, how do we live in a pandemic, post-pandemic / current pandemic world? That's our new challenge. We're watching a lot of television and eating a lot of food at home and just living a little differently. So trying to find the joy in that.
Oh, mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. They like, oh, 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 mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. You now ride with Libby and Jess, and you about to get yourself a little blessing. They got plenty of lessons and even more children. They got stress every day that's building and building, but they still keep it clear with a fresh point of view. And if you tuned in, you're about to get a little bitty clue of what it's like to be a working mom with fashion, and to love your kids and God with plenty of passion, and realize what it's like to be working so hard that you don't even feel like you got time for your squad, or even to write a letter to your mom or your dad. And if you ain't feeling good, then maybe you feeling bad. Well, these two ladies here for you, and they coming through this microphone. Whether you at work in your whip or if you right at home, I hope you subscribe and never hide from the truth. You now rocking with the two illest ladies in the booth. Let's go.
I forgot to mention a major story last time that we met.
Okay, let's hear it.
I can't believe I forgot. So Nick almost burned down our house. The second time this has happened. I did the first one. We've talked about that, right? Because I cooked a hairbrush when we had lice. And
that was your old house.
Yeah, that was my old house. So I tried to burn down the old house, which was like a serious house fire. The other day, or a couple, you know, it's probably been a couple months now, we got a fire pit. And I think it was one of those nights where I suggested it. It was probably a weeknight. And I just said, you know, let's do a fire pit, which of course meant Nick did all the work to prepare it. And it was kind of cold. And I guess it wasn't working per usual. So I was kind of in and out. I think, oh, yeah, the goal was to put the kids to bed and we would go out and do the fire. And so the kids were upstairs and then I came down and, you know, David like one of them wouldn't go to sleep and kept coming down, you know,
how the that worst.
Yeah. And you're just saying, just go away, go to bed. Like whatever I can do to make you go to bed. So I'm, you know, running back and forth between Nick outside of the fire and David and trying to cajole him to go to bed. And I guess while I was inside, Nick took it upon himself to dump an entire like container of gasoline on the fire. And so when I went back to check on him, like there were these huge flames and I saw him with like throw a fireball across into the side yard, like where his arm looked like it was on fire too. And I saw it go across our grass, like the grass lit up in flames. And thankfully on that side of the house, there isn't another house next to us. There's, you know, like a drainage pond area, natural area. So we didn't catch another house on fire, but I saw that and immediately thought that our house is going to go up in flames. You know, Nick was already in flames and I needed to call 911 ASAP. Do we have a landline? No. And of course, I then proceeded to go, where's my phone? And like drop the F-bomb and wake up all the kids. I was like, where's my phone? The house is on fire.
I think the theme of tonight is like irrational parenting.
Yeah. So I woke up all the kids. I'm like, where's the phone? And then Emma goes, is it right here? Like on your floor by your bedroom door where the baby gate is? I'm like, yes, that's it. And then, you know, by that time Nick came in and even he said that he panicked and couldn't think of how to put out the fire. Oh, you know,
that's it's not just great. Like,
here's a fire. What do I do? And then he realized after a moment that there's a hose and I could turn it on and put it out. But I totally flipped out. I was like, I obviously have to call 911 before doing anything and I can't find my phone. It was just nuts. And thankfully, he was able to put it out and there was no damage to the house. We did have some burn spots to the grass, which is obviously no big deal. And thankfully, I guess Nick didn't have any burns, but it was such a scary
last
sight.
Last but not least,
yeah.
Nick is okay. Last but oh, that's brutal.
It was crazy. It was so crazy. You know, I think the gasoline can is still sitting there, like 3 months later.
Right? Like when you're kind of in the heat of this worst fear moment, yeah. Like all of that like rational productive stuff just kind of like it isn't available.
It doesn't give me much confidence or security as a parent of four children that, you know, neither
I feel like
but I couldn't get my act together in a moment of emergency or panic.
I had a not the same, but
yes.
My recent family adventure took a turn.
Wait, where was your adventure to?
So we had planned to go to Wintergreen, and this was one of our, this was one of our holiday things.
You're speaking to the microphone.
Yes. We were, one of the things we had said to the kids for Hanukkah and for Christmas was, we're going to do fewer presents and more experiences.
Which they never want to hear.
And it turned into just as many presents and kind of a weekend away, sort of. So we planned to go to Wintergreen, which is a ski area not too far from Richmond.
It's a ski resort.
Well, I don't know that we can call it that after
New York snobbery.
After our experience
going there.
So, like, basically, we had made this big plan, and I booked a ski lesson, a snowboard lesson for the girls. Pat and Baker were going to be at the house. I was going to ski while they were taking lessons, and I haven't skied in maybe 20 years.
Since Franzia?
And no, I've skied once in Richmond with my friend and her then boyfriend.
Okay.
Her child for like a half day.
Okay.
And it was so fun and it was so long ago.
Was it at Wintergreen?
No, it was at Massanutten.
Okay.
Which is another kind of equidistant ski resort. and so we had planned to go and we, you know, were really looking forward to it. Had to buy everything so well in advance. Was kind of shocked by the
expense
of it.
Like your tickets?
Yeah, like the lift tickets. The lessons for lift tickets and lessons and ski rental just for a few of us, it was over $1,000
for one day of skiing. One day?
Isn't that bonkers?
It's like Disney World.
I mean, what is happening? So we did it. We were excited and so looking forward to it and had a big plan that we were going to drive up as soon as we could after work and school and get there Friday night. And the weather is starting to turn as we're driving. We stop in Charlottesville and we pick up like a thing of Indian dinner because we love Indian food.
Yes.
And we're driving and it's starting to snow a little. And we're in this old Honda Odyssey van that has a bullet hole in it. Like, it's not a very...
You have a bullet hole in your van?
Yeah, we do.
For what? Did you buy it that way?
No.
What?
It was... Side note, this van is a used van that we had purchased when we found out we were having more kids. And we've had it for a long time, and Pat had taken it to work, and he really wanted this van, and I was like, no, we don't need a van, that's ridiculous, but now I love it, and I don't ever let anybody else have it,
yeah.
It's mine, but he had taken it to work, and he works downtown, and he was parked it, and then went to pick up a coworker later in the day to, like, go somewhere, and the coworker said, when did this bullet get in your car? And Pat had no idea there was a bullet in his car. Sees it, is talking to the coworker. It was a stray bullet, we assume, that fell into the car while it was parked downtown by his office. Thankfully,
what do you mean a stray bullet fell into his car?
Well, there's just stray bullets. There's, like, gunfire everywhere.
Right, so it was shot into his car.
Well, I wasn't there. We don't know. Like, we assume.
But there's a hole in the
there's
vehicle.
There's a bullet in the car.
A
bullet is in the
but
car.
But is there a hole in the door of the car?
No, it's in the hood, the front hood. Show it to you
but
later.
But, like, the bullet went through the hood.
Yeah, it's lodged in there.
It's lodged in there. Okay.
So we called
so
the police.
So it didn't just fall in there. Like,
it's
somebody
there.
Dropped it out of their purse.
It's in there.
Yeah.
No, okay. It, like, kind of shot into it, I guess.
That is crazy
and
scary.
We called the police, and they were, do you need this bullet? And they're like, no, you can have it. You got enough. So Pat went on YouTube, looked up bullet tutorial, how to fix a bullet. You know, he's not going to pay someone to do that. So we've kind of, I don't know.
How many views did that video have on YouTube?
It's a really good question. But it is a not very cute looking home repair job for the bullet, which is still in there. And now part of the car has fallen out and we can't seem to tack it back up. And every time I go anywhere, people are signaling for me to pull my window down, telling me that part of my car is dragging.
Oh, no.
And I feel embarrassed to say, I know, and I'm going to drive it broken forever. So instead, I'm like, thank you for letting me know, which I'm never going to fix it. But I do hear it. I hear myself barreling down the road.
Is it making a noise?
It's
dragging?
Super noisy.
Wait, how can that be good? Aren't you worried something bad might happen?
It's an old car with a bullet in it. What am I trying to preserve
What's
it
What's dragging?
For?
The bumper or, like, part of the
like
engine?
Like a flappy thing?
It's going to combust.
I mean,
you can't.
It's aesthetic. I don't know. I think it's fine. But it's one of the least messed up parts of the car. So anyway, we're driving to the mountain. The snow is coming down. And I see a car or two to the side. And I think, I wonder what's going on there. Did they have car trouble or are they having a hard time getting up the mountain?
Yeah.
And we're kind of paused because there's another car that's in front of us that can't go. So we're waiting for a little while and then we can't go. When it's our turn to go, our car can't go. And then the people behind us can't go. There's a police officer off to the side and he says, are you okay? We're like, our car won't go. He's like, yeah, that's starting to happen. People can't really get up this mountain with the weather and we don't have four-wheel drive or anything functional about our car. And it's snowing at this point pretty heavily. And we asked him what the plan is.
Yeah.
And he said that there was a, like, night crew at the base ready to come up and plow the roads, but that everybody had to come down the mountain first.
Oh my goodness.
So we were just waiting for about an hour, thinking we had no idea when it would be possible to go, and maybe we would just turn around and hope that we could turn around. And eventually the, you know, plow comes through, clears the path, and we can make it up. And it's terrifying. And I'm wearing this ring that I just bought that's part of a meteor from Alternatives. And the lady says, well, somebody said that this ring brings all this toxic stuff and bad things happen. But I told her that meteor rings, like, are good for manifesting what, like, it might not be what you want to happen, but it's what you need to happen. This sounds great to me until we're in the stuck mountain thing and I'm staring at this rock on my finger wondering why I did this to myself, which is not rational, but it's just...
So you intentionally bought a ring that the seller said would bring bad luck?
No, and she said that somebody else said that it would bring bad luck, but she was sure it wouldn't. I need to get rid of this thing. But anyway, so we finally make it kind of nearer where we need to be.
Yeah.
And we're wondering if this is a ski resort, why aren't the roads so hard to navigate? And, you know, what's going on? And what's the weekend going to unfold? How's it going to unfold? Are we going to be able to access things?
They make their snow. It doesn't normally snow. See the difference?
Right. But shouldn't their roads be, like, treated if they're expecting snow?
It just You would think.
You would think. So, basically, we get past the, I don't know, high part, and we're going through to where we need to go for the Airbnb, and then there's another road to get up to the Airbnb, and the car won't go. So we're pretty close to where the Airbnb is, but the car will no longer go.
And at that point, you said, kids, get out.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Pat was like, I'm going to keep trying. I was like, don't die out here. But it did kind of make me think of, like, those families that get stuck, and then the dad goes to find help and dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I always think, how can anyone let anything like that happen? But that night, I was wondering how that doesn't happen more often. But so we get sort of in the area. The kids and I are walking through the snow to the Airbnb.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is, I don't know, maybe a third of a mile away.
It's okay.
Like, kind of not super close or super far.
Yeah.
We get there. We get in. I have the box of Indian food. And I just start feeding them.
Yeah.
I'm like, Daddy will join us at some point. And he does. Oh. He's found, like, somebody has helped him move the car to some other spot. And he proceeds to go for the next 2 hours back and forth to the car, bringing everything we brought into the house.
Oh, my gosh. And nobody helped him?
Dylan did. She went out with him in the snow and, like,
how much stuff did y'all pack?
So much stuff. So much stuff. Like, food, everything.
Oh,
so much stuff.
That is the pain of going to a place. They have a cafeteria there, don't they?
But we weren't going to go inside if we didn't.
Oh,
we could avoid it because of COVID. And basically, then we're wondering how we're going to get to the mountain the next day. And I'm having major buyer's remorse. I'm like, what was I thinking? This is too ambitious. Who do I think I am to leave the house? Like, I'm not cut out for this. And it's just triggering all my incompetency.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like traveling in bad weather. I don't like being responsible for others. Like, I don't like figuring out where things are.
Me neither.
I don't like any of that. And it just made me feel like I, you know, had the capacity of a 5-year-old but was stuck in the responsibility of a 42-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not a good feeling. And I kind of carried that with me to the detriment of everybody involved for the following day. So the next day, we get up, and I'm like, why do I have to be the one that skis? Like, that's going to take these
Pat,
people to the
ski.
Mountain. So we decide that we're just going to walk to the mountain and hope for the best. And we're walking, and we walk to the car, and the roads look okay. And I'm like, let's get in the car and see if we could drive to the mountain. That would make it easier.
Yeah.
So I'm with Dylan and Kara, and we're driving to the mountain. And it's working out. Like, I'm getting places.
Okay.
It feels really good.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I'm making this story take way too long. And basically,
the length of your trip.
The length of the trip. It felt so long. And we get there, and then I can't figure out, like, which lots are paid lots, which lots are public. Like, I'm freaking out. And Dylan, I'm, like, kind of screaming on the phone to Pat, like, I am not cut out for this. And Kara's like, I just want to go home. And Dylan's like, get it together. Like, I'm embarrassed to be your daughter. Like, this is, she's polite and doesn't say that, but that's the feeling. So finally I, like, get them in and by some miracle get them to their lessons, telling everybody I passed along the way, we had the hardest time getting here. And I've left the car because I can't figure out how to park it. And I'm too, like, crazy to remember that I could put the car in reverse. So I don't realize that I could do that. So I just leave the car because I'm like, I can't go up anymore. I don't think, like, I can just put it in reverse and back out. I, like, abandon it in some person's something. I don't know. And after I get them squared away, I think, well, I have some time. I could find a way to park the car or even bring it back to the house and figure it out.
Yeah.
And as I'm, like, in panic parking, like, sobbing, ridiculous mode, my knee pops out of its socket.
What?
As I'm driving the car, my left knee just decides to leave its socket.
Has that ever happened?
It has, but never like this. Like, it's usually if I'm doing
some
physical you know, it's like a strange thing, and I never expected it to ever happen while I'm parking a car. Like, I thought maybe if I'm skiing.
You're not even using your left knee when you're doing it, right?
My left knee. It makes no sense. So now I'm like, I've got this leg thing happening,
oh my
and I'm
gosh.
Trying to park. And And then I do realize I can back out. so I can go reverse.
That's good.
And then at that point, I'm like, I just need to go back to the rental house. Like, I can't ski. I can't get my knee in its socket. So I get to the rental house, and I'm hopping on one foot into the house. And I basically tell Pat, you've got to go get them at the end of their lesson. I'm going to be working on getting my knee back in its socket. Just take it from here. So I'm with Baker, and I'm doing all these stretches, and it gets back in its socket about an hour into this. And
that sounds so painful.
It was really bizarre and painful, and I was so ashamed. Like, why can't I do anything? Why did my knee have to...
Yeah.
All of the, like, negative self-talk.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, whoa, girl. Like, crazy stuff. Whatever. It's such a champagne problem. Like, on my ski vacation,
yeah,
I had some problems, but
yeah,
I did feel all sorts of ways about it. And the weekend got a lot better from there. I was happy that my knee was in its socket. I was happy that we had access to the house. I was,
yes,
happy it wasn't snowing. I was happy everybody was okay. Like, I was able to kind of,
yeah,
see all the good stuff after that.
The picture of Dylan and Kara looked really cute.
It was great. But it just wasn't the weekend I had planned.
Did you get to ski or no?
So I called the place and I was like, can I use it tomorrow? Like, my lift ticket?
Oh.
And they were like, well, if your knee popped out, because I told them the whole story, like, well, if your knee popped out, wouldn't you rather not ski on a knee that, like, has a potential kind of thing going on? They said, why don't you just use it a different weekend, the pass?
And did you enlighten them as to how difficult it was to get up there?
I just said thank you. You know, and we might go back and I might go a different weekend, but I don't know. I definitely was confused by the whole thing. Do you ever have those things happen and you're like, I don't understand any of what just happened? Like, I don't understand why I thought I was capable of driving a car. I don't understand why I wasn't capable of driving a car. I don't understand my meltdown. And then...
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
I think traveling is stressful no matter what. And I just listened to somebody say that, you know, it's actually proven that you get more enjoyment looking forward to a trip.
Really?
Than you actually do when you experience it. That's probably true for parents at least, right? Because, you know, when you're just looking forward to it, you're not doing any work. But when you're there, you're working, you're responsible.
That's a good point.
Yeah, like we went to a museum for Valley's birthday, a belated birthday trip to the Spy Museum in D.C., and, you know, as we thought about it, we thought, oh, we're going to do something fun. We're going to get out of the house for one of the, you know, like the number of times I can count on my hand in the last 2 years and go somewhere fun. And that'll be so exciting. We'll go to D.C. and that'll be exciting because it's a new, you know, new to Rich, like it's not Richmond, something different. And this museum sounds really fun.
It does.
Like, and she's been reading spy books. And so it just ties in with that. She'll be so excited. And then you get there and it's reality and, you know, it's crazy and chaotic and all the kids are going in a different direction and Jacob's running around. And then they have this cool experience where you can solve a mystery and you have to use computer screens. And so there's lines and there's waiting and each kid, you know, wants to use the computer and not share and doesn't want to wait. Then wants you to help them solve the mystery. And meanwhile, I'm back at like step one, like, wait, so what are we doing? Like, I think we missed the instructions, but I did hear Morgan Freeman narrate the intro video, which was cool, but I have no idea how to solve this.
We just watched the video again.
And then I'm like, what about the exhibits, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently just, you know, as a parent, you don't get to really participate in, or not both parents. So Nick and I sort of traded off. And then we're never together in the museum. We're separated. And my sister and her family sweetly came by to see us and didn't see them at all. Like, it's just, you know, it was still fun. But I think just to the point of, you know, the actual experience kind of is...
Yeah.
At least it might live up to your expectations, but it also comes with the additional work and responsibility of, like, facilitating everything and making it happen.
I never thought once that, like, I should have four-wheel drive or that my knee might pop out. Like, in my head, I was like, well, skiing will be amazing.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to figure out how to eat lunch
because
of COVID. That was my big
That's
thing.
That's the real
like,
worry.
How are we going to eat with COVID? And it's like, oh, my gosh, girlfriend, that was the most... lovely dream of a problem that you have. Meanwhile, it could be so much worse.
That's true.
It is, like, different traveling with kids.
I mean, different. I feel like Nick and I have both recently had that thought of just, you know, not that it ever really goes away, but parent, like, adulthood can be kind of a bummer. You know, it's, like, a lot of work, and this is so ridiculous, but... After we drop off Jacob at preschool and, you know, the kids at elementary school, those schools start first. You know, high school goes last. So sometimes we stop at Publix, we pick up something, and we get a coffee from the Starbucks there because we're not willing to wait in the Starbucks line that is 30 cars long. Anyway, so we go in there, and there's high school students, you know, girls, and they're, like, so cute. And so I have that whole, like, what's it called, popular girl syndrome going on, where I swear one of them looked at me, and I was like, what am I wearing? Oh, I shouldn't have worn these boots. It's like, my jeans look frumpy with these boots, and they have the right shoes with the jeans.
Why do I have to look like this when they're looking at me?
I felt like I was back in high school. I mean, it's so weird how that feeling doesn't change. Even at 40 years old, I'm like, is that 17-year-old girl looking at what I'm wearing? I feel insecure, you know? Oh. Like, what? Annoying high school kids. Look at them. No worries in the world. All they had to solve for this morning was picking out the right jeans and shirt, you know, to go with their outfit. And then they're here. And he's like, everybody else is just having fun and no worries. And here we are, you know, taking care of these kids, being an adult, paying bills. But like you said, we have it so good. It's just so funny how, like, we can't come to terms sometimes.
Well, we're still these little people. Like, when I was having my little panic attack trying to park the car, I felt like I was 5 years old. And it was kind of confirmed later when I was recapping with the girls, and my oldest was like, and then you cried like a little baby. I did cry like a baby. It's like, sometimes I feel like a little baby. It's like, I probably shouldn't process this with my children.
Probably shouldn't admit this to you, but guess what?
I feel way less capable than you guys seem.
So my family, Libby's family, had COVID. And the worst part about for us for having COVID was the quarantine part. Because we try to keep each other apart, you know, like isolate from each other. And, you know, each person gets sick at a like a later date. And so then it extends like the amount of time you got to be in this like isolation period of delivering food, like a hotel bellhop. Nick joked that he was a hotel marigold and he was going to have like a bellhop hat or, you know, room service. But what was I going to say? Oh, I think just being home for, you know, out of school and whatnot, threw David off his schedule, and he started throwing some tantrums. And sometimes I just go up to Valley, who's only, you know, 2 years older than him, and I'm like, Valley, why does he do this? Hug me. Make it feel better.
That's so funny. Well, I remember that.
Finding like, solace in her.
When I was younger, my brother's 5 years older than I am, and he was more temperamental and, you know, like hot-headed and would get frustrated and show it in ways that I didn't. And he would like, you know, like do crazy things, like throw a ball at the wall and make a hole or just like really lose his mind. And my parents didn't like it. They were like, we don't understand this. And I remember my mom, because I was the calm child, she'd be like, do you think he'll always be like this?
Asking you for your advice.
I think Scotty's like this. I was like, I'm little. I don't know.
I can't answer your questions. Let's talk about In Just Like That.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I fell right back into Carrie worship, you know, just thinking she's so cute. Every outfit she puts on is amazing. Not necessarily, you know, her personal choices or whatever, but just her style. It's just so adorable. Her hair is perfect, you know, and then of course, like their lifestyle always looks fun of, you know, they're not, nobody has like a desk job. What?
Yeah, I mean, the visual of that show is always, it's like, you know, Anthropology or Whole Foods, like it always just looks so delightful. Like, it's,
yeah, I mean,
so pretty.
It is so pretty. I guess it is like the candy aisle. Yeah. And so I just feel like a child. You know, I watch it and then I immediately want to be just like her. And
it's very aspirational. Like, even the restaurants look perfect and the drinks look amazing and the jewelry is
so amazing. Do you feel the same way? Because I feel sort of childlike when I express those feelings to my husband. You know, like, I'm so impressionable. You know, here I am, this 40-year-old woman, I'm watching this TV show, and in a minute, I want to switch my style, switch my job, you know? Like, what?
It's like we're in awe of them, right? They look amazing. And then some of the stuff is outrageous. And I think it's natural to wonder, could I pull that off, you know?
Yeah, the clothes. Oh, yeah. I was immediately, like, I found myself seriously contemplating, should I be investing in designer pieces? Like, should I just not buy anything from J. Crew and buy one really nice thing?
You guys don't need to go to camp, do you?
It won't be the shoes because I have wide feet, so I'll never be able to spend a bunch of money on fancy shoes because they just won't fit me. But I could invest in, a fancy purse or... And my head's big, so it couldn't be a hat. So I'm really, you know, that limits my selections to handbags, jewelry, and clothes.
But I fell back in love with them.
I know.
Oh, I've missed them.
Yes, and they're still, like we were just saying, so fabulous and beautiful and, you know,
and the storylines were so good. I love, well, we're talking about bat mitzvahs with Dylan, and I was like telling Pat at dinner, I'm like, well, Rose became Rocky, and then Rocky almost was going to have a they mitzvah, but then didn't want to, like, oh, spoiler alert, by the way, and all of these things, and he was like, oh, we need to watch that episode, because it's like, there's little bits of it that are a little relevant, but they take it to such an interesting place, and so fun to watch.
Right, because now Charlotte has older kids, and Miranda does, and so there's parenting is a part of it.
It's way less sex oriented
and yes,
much more like light
except for
stuff.
Miranda. Bleh. But
it's crazy. I mean, I'm all about her exploring things, but not while she's married to Steve.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what they keep saying is everybody's problem is we love Steve. So we're like, it's hard to, you know, root for a character when they're hurting the other character that we like, right?
We love Steve.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, I went out and bought pink eyeshadow, like metallic, and I can't pull it off. Pink is just, it's so dark, it almost looks red, so I feel like it looks like your eyes are, you know, sick or like puffy or you have a cold or something, but I can't pull it off. But I got a pink sequin top, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go out of my comfort zone.
Zoom is gonna be like,
I know.
Whoa.
I haven't worn it to work yet.
And after the first two episodes, I feel like it got really funny and light that candy again.
I always thought it was really entertaining, and I enjoyed the stories of them being in their 50s. And I think that's really powerful that they're doing that and that they're sexy and beautiful and they're not just like some old grandma. Like the Golden Girls, that whole thing came out as, you know, these characters are about the same age that the Golden Girls were, and they were in shoulder pads and, you know, a retirement community
and
like playing
was
shuffleboard.
Like the town hussy for having a date or something.
Yeah. Can you believe that? Like that's, we've come a far way in how we treat women, at least in terms of age. So I feel like I'm really excited about that.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Go,
I like it.
Go, girls.
There's been a lot of TV. Oh. There's, like, a lot more exciting TV coming, too. Do you watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
You know, I don't have good sticking power. The only thing I'm really committed to is, and just like that, and the Bachelor, Bachelorette. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, I admire your dedication.
Admire is not the real word that you...
I think, I don't know why, it just stopped being...
It's so stupid, right? I don't know, I'm
but
like...
But I watch, like, I watch a lot of really stupid TV, so it's not that I'm against something.
Why can't we align our love for stupid content on a show?
We can do it. Let's, maybe Love is Blind? Would you be willing?
Oh, I've seen that, and we've watched Marriage at First Sight. I just, The Bachelor, I just, every time it comes on, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that.
Does Nick watch it with you?
Yeah, but he doesn't really care. And I actually do enjoy watching with him because he'll poke fun of it. And I love doing that. But I get kind of obsessed. I mean, I think about it afterwards. And I mean, at the end of the episode, at the end of the series, I think about it for days afterwards. You know, I can't believe she picked that person. If it was just going to come down to the first impression, Rose, and why did we have all of these stupid dates? Like,
but it's amazing. I feel like Pat is kind of a true believer when it comes to those kind of shows. He's like,
is
they
he?
Just need to find true love. And I think he gets it from his mom, who's a total true believer. Like,
that's
whenever
so
we see
sweet.
Any, even like a raunchy, like romantic thing gone wrong, she's like, if only they could have worked it out. Like, it's just this like really earnest, sweet believer.
So does he like The Bachelor and Bachelorette?
I'm sure he would if I let him watch it.
You're in complete control of the remote control.
The remote is mine. Some things aren't questioned around here. But
yeah, I do like watching The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and Nick is a good sport about it. And, you know, it's, they've definitely, I don't know if they always try to do this, but they always try to, probably like any reality show these days, you know, cast a villain character. And, I mean, one girl was so unbelievable this season, Shanae. Like, I mean, she can't be in it to find love, but she's... like
she
talking, she's talking to the camera and she's like, I want to win. And so you think that she does care about winning, but I guess she cares about winning, not really The Bachelor. Yeah. And then, I mean, she literally like lied to everybody's faces, made herself cry, like gave this amazing performance. And later to the camera in confessional, she said, you know, I'm here at the top and Meryl Streep is down here. Like, did you see that performance? I should get an Oscar. And she's like, ah, but bitches. Like, she's
she just wants
so
a spot
crazy
on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. I think she's earned it. She, I don't know where she'll go from here, but,
better than Meryl.
Yeah. It was something else.
It's so formulaic, though. I feel like
I know. It's like, why do I want to keep watching it? But I can't turn away, Jessica.
Maybe you're working through something. Just go with it.
It is. I don't know. I guess it is. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Well, at the end, love usually prevails, right?
I mean, for 30 seconds or so.
That feels good.
And they break up. Being homeschooled for last year, or sorry, not homeschooled, but virtual school, and then switching schools for my oldest and going into fifth grade, you know, last year of elementary school to a new school after being home for a year, all that was a big transition. But I think also she's, you know, turning 11, and isn't that tween age technically? So I think, you know, she's changing, probably would change anyways. Do you think so?
Yeah.
And so... you know, she's gotten shyer, like more reserved, more nervous about, you know, talking to people. It takes her a long time to feel comfortable. And she was always more of an observer at first. Like she would tell you that I spend the first couple days scoping everybody out, you know, in class, like figuring out, you know, what their vibe is. And then, you know, then I'll start talking to them or whatnot.
That's right.
But yeah, but she, but there's like a little difference here where there's like this level of like, painful shyness where she can't make herself talk in some situations that wasn't there before. So I have tried to supplement kind of for both kids. But when we moved into the new neighborhood, for some reason, or just, you know, random chance, we have a lot of boys on our street and they run around like a little pack or a gang. I mean, it's kind of funny. And they all run around in a pack. And so David was able to get, you know,
got swooped up.
Yeah, swooped up into the pack, and they really like our swing set, so they'd come over a bunch. And, you know, sometimes Emma and Valley, the girls, would go out and play with them, but not as much. And so...
are you the self-appointed wing woman?
Kind of, yeah. So I've done it on multiple occasions, and it's getting ridiculous. So, you know, one day, the kids got off the bus, and I met them at the bus, and I don't usually do that. And Valley had told me that one girl on the bus who lives on our street... is in her class. And so I start talking to this girl, like, hey, girl. Like,
wasn't that crazy today?
What's up? I'm Valley's mom. Like, she told me you're in her class. And, you know, meanwhile, Valley has, like, literally, like,
peaced out.
Yeah, like, ran towards our house. Like, she's nowhere in sight. And I'm like, hey, girl, do you want to maybe come over for a play date sometime? Like, what do you like to do?
Our Starbucks is lit. Nick and I were checking it out. Did we wear our Uggs together?
No, she's a fifth grader. So it's like bordering on the side of like weird. And I literally told her and another neighbor girl that we have a swing set. You should just come down to our house. Like, oh, we're there.
Livy, have you seen 13 going on 30?
Yeah, I don't remember it. Did they do that?
She's 13, but stuck in this 30-year-old's body and life. And
so she's talking to another kid like that.
Another 13-year-old on the elevator. She's like, you like this bag? You want to come up? I've got tons of these bags. We should have a sleepover.
That's exactly what it was like. I'm like, hey, girl, can we trade numbers? Like, this is totally normal. I even did it, I did it with another neighbor, too. And I was talking to this one, like, I tried to get...
Well, you need friends, too.
I'm like, even approaching their, you know, kindergarten sisters. I'm like, I hear you have an older sister in fifth grade. Want to be friends? Like, here's my number, you know, come down to our swing set. It's so embarrassing.
Like, did you maybe watch a little Gilmore Girls? I feel like the lines get blurry. A lot of our influences.
I didn't really watch Gilmore Girls, but I can see her doing that.
I have that side to me where I'm chatting up the kids, people.
Well, both of my kids, like the older ones, act like we don't know how to act in public with new people. So I feel responsible. And I carry on the conversation with these other kids. I mean, we'll meet a kid on a scooter, you know, in the other neighborhood. And they'll be like, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so. And both Ellie and David will just stare at them and not say anything. So I'm like, hey, like, this is Valley, this is David, I'm Libby. And then we chat, and then I'm like, okay, well, I guess my kids are shy. Like, I literally, like they're dogs. So I'm like, they're just take a little warming up, too, and...
That's great. I know, it's funny.
So I'm making lots of friends, but...
You're killing it. How about their moms? Any potential there? You tapping into the
light? I don't see the moms. Oh. The moms are nowhere to be seen. One day, a kid was on our front porch, and we were talking to him. Actually, kind of giving him some parental feedback of, hey, like, don't do this to our kid, you know? And his mom, first time I've ever seen her, like, walks by on an exercise walk. And he's like, hey, Mom. And then I thought she might, you know, come over and introduce herself. And she just goes, everything okay? And then she just keeps walking.
Like, okay. Never mind, I don't want to know. Yeah.
So, no, I haven't met as many moms. I can't wait for the warm weather again to where you can see your neighbors. And, you know, we also have been trying to stay away from people and not be indoors with COVID. And now we have it. And I'm like, hey, neighbor, do you want to get together? Maybe I have COVID. So
I'm safe now.
Yeah. Let's see each other potentially. But then I forget that I've reached out because I'm so used to not seeing people that I totally flake off. I'm literally, like, texting her, I'm dying to get together. And she texts back, okay, you know, let's get together. And then, it, like, 4 days of silence from me. Oh. Like, I don't know how to be a friend
to still. Libby. Yeah. Valley. I'm like, who are you? Hand it to your...
Valley, you handle my...
Yeah. I'll do your friend stuff, you do my friend stuff.
Yes. The other thing that I think is weird about this age and being, growing up is that... I see it especially with Emma, but she will, like, they both do it. They'll bounce back and forth between, like, baby-like characteristics and then teenager. And so it's like they're, I don't know, like, two people or Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde or, you know, it's like they've got a double personality. And it's really, and it's not just, oh, at this moment, but, like, they'll snap to it. Like you know how babies can cry? Like, toddlers can just pour out tears in an instant. And you go, how do you do that? It's like that. Like, on a dime, I'll see them flip, you know, be like, oh, can't believe you made me do that. Oh. And then, blah, 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 some, like, monkey noise. And I'm like, what? Who are you? Like, what is happening in your brain right now?
I wonder how long this stage is going to go on.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's so weird.
It's confusing. But then I got it. I've got it that going on, too. Like, in your when brain? I was in the car, like, not able to park or do anything. And then later it's like, I'll make dinner.
5-year-old mommy is out now. 40-year-old mommy is out.
I don't know. Maybe we're complicated beings.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's not like we're just one thing. But it's definitely, you know.
It's pretty pronounced.
Yeah. You know, there's still, like, pick me up and carry me and I'm a baby and then I'll give you attitude and sass and it's sarcasm.
The craziest thing with our 5-year-old too, though, because he's, like, watching this kind of emergence of teen stuff. Yeah. And he'll mimic it. I'll say, how was your day? And he's like, oh, can we just not talk about that right now? And then this, like, a second later, he's like, Mommy, I need milk.
Can you get out my sippy cup?
Essentially. Well, I like not having gray hair. I'll say that.
I do love paying for my hair.
But I mostly want to learn, like, how to make my stomach work, how to keep my knee in its place, how to keep my boobs from turning on me.
So like, you're less vain than I am.
No, but I like not having gray hair.
Yeah.
It makes me feel less old.
Yeah.
I'll admit that.
Yeah. No, that does feel good. But have you ever thought...
I would like to fit into some of my clothes again. But I don't know. That seems too ambitious.
Yeah. Well, I know we've talked about that before. But what about, have you ever, like... Does the thought of Botox or anything ever... How do you live in that world where you're...
I don't. Okay.
But how do you get like that?
I never thought that my skin was glam. Like, I guess I never had an attachment... Like, I never had great skin.
I feel like you have good skin, though, and you don't do anything for it. We've talked about this before, where you were like, I don't put anything on my face. And I responded, what am I spending all this money on?
I do feel like it's a racket, some of the skin stuff.
You mean a ripoff? Like it's all fake?
Yeah.
It probably is. Now it's just become like a self-care routine for me where I feel like...
It feels good. Yeah. You should do it, I guess.
So you've never thought about that. You're not like, I have these wrinkles. It would be great to get rid of them.
I like seriously hop out of... Well, so I went to see a knee doctor because of my knee popping.
Yeah.
And they had me put on these like medical shorts.
But what are medical shorts?
Know they looked like you know how
you mean instead of a hospital gown
they're just like little baggies and I looked down and I was like I think a week before that I was in the shower and I realized maybe I should shave my armpits and then I had the razor out and I just kind of like hacked at my legs for a minute and I mean I don't know like it's pretty rough living my ragged looking hairy legs. I mean it's a good day if I remember to like shave a body part.
Yeah.
And then my eyebrows. I would like someone to give them a shape.
No, you should not pluck your eyebrows. You shouldn't. I'm trying to grow mine back with the eyebrow serum. I just switched to a different kind. I tried the natural kind. I tried to get the green, natural, non-toxic beauty. But then I was like, I don't think this one is working. And Brooke Shields said to use this one.
But is a unibrow anybody's friend?
You don't have a unibrow.
That's nice.
Have you seen Lily Collins?
She's fascinating, isn't she?
Because of her unibrow or what?
She's like a woman girl. Like, I feel like she has this girl little thing nymph. And then this, like, woman thing.
With the nymph.
Like, what is this?
Isn't that just, like, still, you know, when you're younger, you're more likely to be smaller and she hasn't become a mom yet. So she's just this petite little, like, fairy creature.
I don't know, but then she has these sex scenes. I'm like, should she be doing that?
In what? In the French
Emily
girl
in Paris
show?
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know that I'd call them a sex scene. But
yeah.
She seems to have more...
I don't watch it, but she does look childlike.
Yeah. Like,
especially at this age now.
I'm not sure what to say.
So that's my whole thing about watching shows about high schoolers. I'm like, I cannot watch.
Yeah.
On this. These are babies. This is completely inappropriate, you know?
You should know.
Yeah.
They should just do what they need to do, but...
Well, I mean, don't you ever even compare yourself, because you have friends that are younger, to your 30-year-old friend, and you're like, she doesn't have any wrinkles.
When
like,
I compare myself to my friends, I'm like, I bet their poop is great. I bet their colon looks real good. Kristen Bell was on Dax Shepard podcast talking about a colonoscopy. And she was saying that she had, like, a wonderful colon. And I was like, I bet she does.
Show off? Like, shut up.
I mean, I'm happy for her, but why can't I have a lovely colon?
Freaking Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Good for them. But.
Okay, so you want a good colon and nice hair, and that's where you draw the line?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, no. I would like to, okay, goals, physical goals. I like not having gray hair. I like having two separate eyebrows. I want to put on shorts without scaring myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... And I would love to have a functional body. That's the big one. I would love to have a functional body. You have that, Libby!
I mean, for the most part. For the most part. I have my own digestion issues, but, yeah.
I feel like I see, like, a specialist a week. Like, you're going
to... Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, you're right.
I'm for that. But I don't know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm...
And here I am going, like... I go to my hairdresser. I'm like... Melody, I think I'm balding in the front. Like, I'm pretty sure my hair is getting thinner. Melody, and my serum's not working. What should I buy? So I'm, like, buying another product. I think it's that, you know, the more time you spend in front of the mirror, you're like, what else can I improve? Like, I'll buy a product for this. And then you're like, wait, it's a losing battle eventually. But,
that's true. Yeah.
I like good products.
Well, Well, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I like TV.
There you go. What? Tell me about your boobs.
Oh, it's boring. Yeah. I don't know. Is it even worth... I feel like I used my capital on the mountain.
No. Well, you got a mammogram, and they thought it might be, have to check out something, but it all turned out okay, right?
Yeah, it did.
Which is a relief.
Yeah, like, I have dense breasts, and being of Ashkenazi descent, like,
what is that?
Eastern European Jewish is like, you're gonna die. Like, everything, it's like, this is probably nothing unless you have Ashkenazi descent. But
wait, what is that word? It means, is it Jewish?
It's like Eastern European Jewish. Like, so Jewish is like a religion, but it's also kind of like an ethnicity.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like the people came from.
Yeah, and then they were all
Israel,
like,
right?
In like shtetls having kids with their cousins, and our genes are all messed up.
Really?
This.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
I think that's the real. I apologize if it isn't. But yeah, I think that there was a lot of kind of inbreeding. Where, like, people were living in close quarters and, like...
And they weren't accepted by, the community they were living in,
basically?
Yeah, like,
you stayed in your community and maybe marry your second cousin. And then the gene pool gets a little...
So you just have more...
There's, like, higher incidence of some genetic stuff. So, like, you're more likely to have, like, certain, like, breast cancers or...
Really?
Like, Tay-Sachs, like, genetic kind of thing.
Wow.
So, like, when I was pregnant, I had, like, screenings to make sure I wasn't, like, a carrier for a lot of messed up genetic stuff.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh, good, I'm married Pat. He's, like... Got
fresh blood. Fresh blood.
Genes. And then they were like, well, the second most likely Tay-Sachs carriers are Irish. I'm like, Pat. Why did we both have been gladly?
There should be a premarital form about this stuff.
Well, you gotta like bring a little, everybody's gotta diversify the gene pool a little bit. But so there's just like kind of, I don't know, background that makes you more likely to develop certain cancers.
Yeah.
So being, having dense breasts, having Ashkenazi descent, like all this stuff makes you like at a higher risk.
Yeah.
And if you're at a certain risk level, then you're approved for additional screenings.
Ugh.
Like I'd always
approved, like it's a privilege. Like you're so happy to get it. Yeah.
And I'm always of the mindset like, oh, if there's something I should do that's like,
you'll do it.
Yeah. Like prevent, you know, prevention minded, that's good to do. So I did the MRI, and they're like, well, we don't know what all this is. They're like, do you have your period? And because I've had that ablation, I was like, I don't know when I would have my period.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, come back in a couple weeks, and, like, you'll be at a different point in your cycle, and if everything is different, then it's hormone-related.
So you had to do it twice?
Yeah, so but when I came back, they were like, and if it's not different, then we'll go ahead and we'll biopsy stuff. So I was like, all right. So I did all that, and when I came back, they're like, well, three of the 5 points of concern are better. So, like, those are definitely hormonal, but there's these, still these two areas that are suspicious.
Gosh.
And so I was there. I was like, well, you may as well biopsy them. Like, and they did, and I had to wait. And then I got, like, an email from... LabCorp saying my results were in the portal. So I was like at the dentist with my kids, like, my
and they just emailed
so
you. Oh my gosh.
And I open it up and like, thankfully I see the words benign and like, my heart kind of like goes back to a normal beat.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I felt so much better. But then I was like, well, I'm glad that I did that, but I don't really want to always have to do that. Like if getting MRIs always means getting
biopsies.
No,
you don't
want to
do that. No.
But it's like, but then... So it's a weird, like, catch-22. Like, you
want
to be mindful and responsive and responsible for your health, but you also don't want to have all this unnecessary stuff. So I might have to try
find
a place that does screenings in a different way, or
I literally had a little lymph node. Like, you can see one on my arm. It's, like, a tiny little, and I had one, like, on one of my breasts, and the OB was, GYN said, I think it's just a little lymph node. But since you're about to turn 40, you could, you know, have
a
mammogram anyways. And then they did the mammogram. They did, like, extra images. And I was so worried, and I wanted Nick to go with me. And because it was COVID time, like, nobody was there to watch our kids. And then I guess we found somebody, and Nick went with me. I don't even know who watched the kids. Or I'm, like, blanking. And then I got there to the lobby, and they said Nick couldn't go in, and I started bawling in the lobby that Nick couldn't go with me. It was awful. And then after all that, after the images, at the last station I went to was a little ultrasound little wand, and the girl puts it up and she's like, oh yeah, this is just a little lymph node. I'm like, what? So I don't even need to like have, you know, the extra images you did back there. And the original doctor said the same thing, like, you know, like you have no boobs. So like, I can just feel that it's like this tiny little lymph node. But
so even though they said it's probably a lymph node, in your head, were you like thinking, well, it's probably a lymph node, but it might be this other.
Yeah. No, or? Actually I had felt it before and I was kind of like, oh, that's no big deal. It feels like nothing. Like it was so tiny. And I remember saying it to my husband one day and he said, you should get that checked out. And then he got all worried. And so I went and saw the doctor, you know, probably for a normal checkup, a yearly thing. And she was like, oh yeah, it just feels like a lymph node. But if you want to, since you're, you know, about to be 40, you could just go ahead and confirm it. So then it feels like, you know, well, am I going to be negligent by not? Yeah. And, you know, obviously it's a good thing to get a mammogram, but it was, I thought it was annoying to go through that first process. I think it's probably more common than I realize, because I've seen other people post, but it was, you know, I want less images. So the fact that they were like, let me take, you know, more images. And then at the end, we'll use the easy thing that confirms, because it's just at the surface. So they're like, oh yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a little lymph node. I can feel it and I can put my little wand right there and show you. And there's like not much other tissue to explore. So, yeah.
It's stressful though, because I feel like you can tell yourself like, statistically, this is probably fine. Nobody seems that concerned. But then it's also, like, hard not to have those thoughts. Like, I'm not ready to die and leave my kids without a mom.
Yeah.
You know, just, it is easy to go to, like, a very catastrophic place.
Well, I'm glad that you are clear. And this is just the part of, I guess, getting older and taking care of our bodies.
This being a human thing. Whew.
Yeah,
I was not for the faint of heart, getting older and...
I know I shouldn't say this, but I was trying to bring some like levity and maybe this won't land right. But you know, I think, to the radio, the tech who was doing the mammogram, I think I said, you know, something about, oh, my boobs are so small. Like you know, can you even get it on there? Or, you know, something to the size effect. And she's like, I've seen smaller. And I'm like, really? No, are you just saying that to make me feel better? Like,
we put them in such weird positions when we say stuff, don't we?
Can you imagine being that person?
It's like, oh great, now I have to tell her boobs are great.
They're not that saggy, I swear, I've seen saggier. Before I got married, I really wanted to finally get laser hair removal on my bikini line. And I even went to my dermatologist and said, who do you recommend? Not that she was some fancy dermatologist. Like, I went to her for getting warts frozen off and skin tags. She said, oh, I would go to this guy. And so I went to another dermatologist's office. Like, the doctor barely talked to me. And he said, oh, you know, he confirmed, I don't think you need it for your, you know, mustache above your lip. I'm like, okay. And he's like, I'll send in the tech to talk to you. And she was like, I can do that in 3 sessions, which after, you know, doing it and getting research done, like the minimum is 6. It probably takes more. So she's like, I did myself in like 2. Like she was just crazy, Jess. So
I did it this morning.
So
I'm done.
I went to her one time and had it done. It hurt so bad. No, not my lip. The bikini lip. It hurt so bad. I think I had the armpits done too, which also hurt. And I'm pretty sure she burned me and left, like, darker spots along the hairline. And so I was just traumatized that, you know, you go to these medical offices, like actual doctor's offices. It wasn't some medi spa. And they don't know what they're doing. So, like, as much as I want to try, like, facial lasers or whatever, I've been scarred by this laser hair removal process. And so before my wedding, also, I went to, like, a plastic surgeon right before to be like, should I get Botox or what can you do for me before my wedding? And, you know, I'm pretty sure he said, I wouldn't do anything for you before your wedding except for maybe, like, well, he would do Botox or maybe, like, a mild facial, but nothing crazy. I'm trying to remember if he said he would do Botox. I can't remember. I was cutting it close on the time window, but I was like so embarrassed and ashamed that I even went there and like wouldn't tell Nick. But it was one of those Carrie Bradshaw moments where she goes in there because he, you know, he like doesn't try to sugarcoat it. He's like, how old are you? 30s, you know, and like,
what are you, 50?
Like, yeah, like, he's not going to underage you, you know. He's like, thought so. I could tell by, you know, the symbols, the signs I'm seeing of age on your skin. And so he's like, yeah, I could do some Botox and I do this. And then he like tells me all the stuff he does on his wife. And I'm like, is it safe, you know? And
I need you, my baby. It's fine.
Yeah, I still want to try it, but I'm so afraid that somebody won't know what they're doing and I'll be screwed. So,
well, I did have, so this is when I was in high school. I was invited to the prom by this guy I kind of had a crush on.
Wow, that's a big deal.
I know. It felt exciting.
This is Jared Catalano?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I don't even want to say his name.
But say his name!
It didn't go well.
Say his
name.
What happened?
So why it didn't go well? Okay. So basically, like, I bought this dress and it was sleeveless.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, you can't wear that dress with your arms unwaxed. And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And she's like, well, you should get your arms waxed so you look nice in the dress. And I was, what, like 16, 17?
Yeah.
So I was like, if you say so.
Yeah.
So we went and, like, I got my arms waxed. I don't even remember that part as much. But I do remember my arms were waxed. And
yeah.
It felt kind of weird.
Yes.
Like, I felt kind of sticky.
Yes.
Like, I didn't have that nice hair absorbing all my sweat. And I'm in this dress and I'm trying to look a certain way. And we get to the prom and we're dancing. And he's like,
gosh, what happens?
Are your arms, like...
Did you do it the same day?
Sticky or something? It was like a couple days before. So like
and they were still sticky? You didn't have like an oil to rub off?
I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, they should have done that for you at the salon.
I don't know how it works. So like my arms feel weird. This guy that I kind of had this crush on is talking about how weird my arms are. And I think I probably said my mom made me wax them.
Confession.
Well, my mom.
I have to come clean.
I don't normally have no hair.
I'm not normally sticky and hairless.
I did this freakish thing for you.
To make you like me.
You like me? I know, he didn't like me, and I didn't like him after that.
Oh.
But it was embarrassing, and
oh,
I thought, why
yeah.
did I... So maybe that's why I don't... Maybe I associate vanity with, like, shame or something. I don't know, but...
Well, yeah.
That was not a good experience. I didn't feel my cutest self being,
oh,
like,
man.
Sticky and weird and having people comment and...
The things
know.
That we do.
I know, it's crazy, right?
That we
like,
do.
Why can't I just have normal hair on my body?
Yeah.
But...
it's nuts, but yeah.
I
know people that do get Botox and it's like no big deal, you know, and,
good for them.
Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm probably going to give in at some point, but I'm also really scared and risk adverse. I would really have to find somebody recommended. I'd probably rather just have like I would have said I would have rather had a laser facial, but that can permanently damage you. What am I talking about, Jessica?
I don't know.
But anyways, okay. That was a really funny story, and I was trying to think. The only thing I could think of going to a dance and having embarrassing stuff was having braces. You know, I think to homecoming and not knowing if I had food in my teeth with my homecoming date. You know, because normally at that age, you're asking your friends at the lunch table, do I have food in my teeth? It's so...
Yeah.
Such a gross question, but you just end up doing it all the time when you have braces. Do I have food in my teeth? Do I have food in my teeth? And so, you know, I remember being at that dinner and wondering, how do I know if I have food in my teeth? Like, who can I ask? And I was with a group that I didn't really... I feel like they were from church, but they weren't my age. I was just thinking... Oh, okay. This is connected. Okay, then I'll stop. So, yeah. I went to that... I guess it was like my 9th grade homecoming. Did I have braces then? I might be mixing up dances. But anyways, I think I did have it. And for that dance, I went to the guy who was working at the grocery store, U-Crops. And I guess I knew when he was working. And so he, like, came out of U-Crops. I swear I asked him to the dance, like, right there. Maybe I called him. Everything's a blur right now. I'm feeling all, like, hot and sweaty. But the crazy thing is, why I wanted to tell the story is, do you ever do this? So... Do you ever think of somebody and be like, is that the same person from high school? I mean, maybe you don't because you
live
in Virginia now, but I did this with somebody famous. So I was listening to the radio the other day, and it was Christian radio, and I don't really know any of the names of the Christian people that, other than, you know, like maybe five, and four of them were from 20 years ago, and they still sing. So this guy came on, and his name was Ryan Ellis, and I was like, is that the guy that I went to homecoming with? That was in my youth group. Like, how many people have the name Ryan Ellis?
My old housemate was named Ryan Ellis. But I don't think he was in your church group.
So I literally, like, pull over in my parents' neighborhood so I can Google who Ryan Ellis is to see if it is. It wasn't him.
Yeah.
But then I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I...
why am I like this?
Why am I thinking about these people? And why would I think that somebody on the radio is somebody I went to school with?
Well, you feel familiar to people, right? After you listen to them and they start to feel like people that have been in your life. I don't know. You
went to high school with famous people. That's why you don't have to imagine. You went to school with Natalie Portman and a whole bunch of other famous people. So
it was just Natalie Portman. Okay.
Somebody else went to your school beforehand. Judd Apatow or...
Oh, yeah. And so Leslie Arfin was a writer for Girls, and she produced the show Love with Judd Apatow. She went to my high school. She was in my grade.
Dude, you gotta go to your reunion.
Cool. I don't think Leslie Arfin's gonna be there.
You never know. All right, tell me your favorite things.
All right.
Including TV, if you want to.
Yes, I'm all about TV now. So okay. I watched the new Aziz Ansari special. It was so good.
We watched it too, so on good. Your recommendation.
Did you love it?
It was fun.
I just loved it. I mean, he talks about, like, COVID and post-COVID world. It was just, he's so sweet and endearing and wants to connect with people so much more now. Just cares about people on a deeper level. But he did say, like, everything is a little bit shittier now.
Yes.
And I feel that in my bones.
You had told me that beforehand, and I think we could all relate to that. And then maybe, I don't know if it was explaining that line, but he also said, which I could really relate to at my job now, and, you know, with everybody quitting their jobs during the pandemic, he's like, now everybody's running around like, I'm new, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, and so that's why everything's a little shittier. Isn't that right?
He was also saying with Chipotle, he's like, you ever been to a Chipotle? It's like Chipotle got COVID. Everybody's panting. Nobody, there's no guacamole.
They don't have guacamole. Like, Nick had the exact same experience where he showed up and he was like, I want guacamole. And they're like, we don't have guacamole. And he said, I can see the guacamole right in front of me. And they go, yeah, but this guacamole is for the online orders. And he's like, but you can see that I'm right here in front of you.
That's so true. And then I feel badly because how hard must it be to be one of two people still working at Chipotle right now?
Oh, my gosh.
So that was really good, a good special. I got really into Yellow Jackets. It was scary, but
that one looks scary.
It was scary. Don't watch it.
If okay.
It was too scary, but then I couldn't stop watching it. And then I got really into Inventing Anna. Have you seen this?
No, what's that?
So interesting. So the woman who was on Ozarks, who played Ruth, plays... this,
wait, Laura Linney? I don't know who that is.
No,
is it Laura Linney?
No, she's also in The Americans. I'm forgetting her.
Carrie Russell?
No.
Oh.
The other one.
I don't know.
she's really popular right now. I'm forgetting her
That's
name.
That's okay.
But so she portrays Anna Delvey, whose like real name was Anna Sorokin or something. And this woman, this was all real. She was born in Russia, grew up in Germany, came to New York, and pretended that she was a German heiress and, like, swindled people out of money and resources and private planes and all this crazy stuff.
That is crazy.
And it was hard to stop watching. And then I fell into the rabbit hole of, like, oh, tell me more about Anna Delvey and her parents connected to money and, you know, just, like, trying
this to... This looks like something I would like.
It was really good. And then I started watching Pam and Tommy.
Did you? Nick asked me if I wanted
really
to watch
interesting.
It.
It's really interesting. It's really interesting because also it's a true story.
Yeah.
And it's wild that all these things happened.
Ugh.
And then for fun, because I need to watch some dumb things too, I really watch. Oh, then Pivoting. Have you seen Pivoting? That's
no,
fun.
No, what's that?
It's fun. It's these three women that are...
Oh, I've seen the ads for it, yes.
Yeah, kind of in our age group and their friend passes away and they... strengthen their bond.
I think I would like
changes.
That.
It's
I'm going to
really
write down
funny.
Those two. Pivoting and the Inventing
Anna.
Anna.
That was really good. And then I can't wait. All these things are going to, like, Love is Blind Tokyo just started, which I want to watch.
And don't forget The Bachelor. You have to see who Colton ends up.
And I really want to see the new Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I feel like there's all these other things that I'm excited about, too. But, oh well. How That's about amazing. You? What are you into these days?
So this one is a sparkly pink tunic that, you know, I bought it and showed it to Nick when it came in the mail. And he said something like, that looks like a ballerina costume, but it's really cute. I wore it over his shirt.
He's not gonna buy one.
Like a short, no, I wore it over a short sleeve shirt that was like light pink purple, and then it was like a pale pink, kind of, you know, like a tulle material with the sequins sewn on it, and it's loose fitting, and it kind of looks like lingerie, but you can wear it as a shirt.
It's got it all.
Yeah, I thought it was, I got dressed up for my daughter's 11th birthday lunch with our, you know, in-laws, because I have nowhere else to go. And so it was my first time out, and I'm like, I'm wearing this. Felt so, you know, fancy. And then as we're leaving, the waitress tells me that she just loves my outfit. And I was, you know, floating to cloud 99. I love my satin pajamas from Target from Stars Above. I think they have navy blue and blush, and it comes with like a cami and shorts. They're like really inexpensive. And
now you're talking my language.
A way step up from, you know, my husband's boxers and t-shirt. So really like those. Stars Above is a really nice brand from Target. They had this really soft sweater that I didn't buy, but they had matching sweater pants. And so I did buy those. I haven't worn them yet. I just tried them on. They're white, like fuzzy sweater pants. I'm so excited to wear those. And then I also got kind of the same material in socks from Anthro that are like made in Korea, called the softest socks ever. And they're like knee-high socks, and they're so awesome. So I'm just loving the, you know, that cozy, yes. It's like softer than Sherpa. You'll have to check it out. I really, really like those. And then two other things. I love my slip masks, the Silk Pillowcase Company Slip. They make masks. They're my favorite ones I've had. I know they're not the K95 or N95 or whatever, but they're big. They always cover everything. They're soft and silky. And I feel like for the wear I get out of them, they don't shrink or whatnot. And they come with extra metal bands for your nose. I just think they're the best. And I wish I had more colors. And then lastly, as something that might be helpful, I previously had an Audible account and had bought all these books or gotten them all and hadn't actually finished listening to them all when I canceled. And so I went back and was listening to my library, and I have Atomic Habits, the book. So I just recommend it. Like, I feel like I would actually have to go back and re-listen, and, you know, if I really wanted to take some notes, but I also feel like you could listen to it, glean stuff, listen to it again, you know, and it's just really, really fascinating. Like, he talks about, his whole thing is, hey, if you make good habits in your life, kind of everything will flow from there, improvements and stuff. And it's not the same thing as goal setting. And like, all of his tips are like, he gives you all the practical tips of, this is how you would do it, and this is what it would look like. And it's like baby steps. And I don't know, I'm really liking it. So I hope I can apply that at home and at work.
That sounds helpful.
Yeah.
You need to have good habits.
And like, as he's talking, you'll recognize stuff that you do already that fits into those categories. And you're like, oh, I do that for this thing. Now let me figure out a way to incorporate this other thing there, you know? So I feel like, just, you know, as we're in this stage of parenting, like, time is limited and we are tired. And this whole thing is too that, hey, if you make these habits for like the routine stuff, the stuff that you repeat all the time, then you can like free up your time and your creative energy, mental capacity for stuff that's like interesting or really hard or stuff that you really care about. Like, if you want to write a book or whatever it may be, you know?
No, it's true. I feel like it's just, I've been in this like a little bit survival
yes,
mindset.
Yes, exactly.
And I need to leave that space.
Yeah.
It is no longer serving me.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you could relate and at the very least laughed with us. We are friends after all, right? I mean, who hasn't gone on a trip with their kids and thought, what have I gotten myself into? I personally love divulging my missteps, insecurities, and vanities to Jess. It's so freeing to be seen and accepted. That's the beauty of friendship. If you like what you hear, please share the podcast with your friends and family. Plus, subscribe, rate, and review. We really appreciate it. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us about your family trips or What makes you feel beautiful? You can find us at Oh Mama Podcast, that's OHMOMMA, with Libby and Jess on Instagram and Facebook. Bye till next time, friends.